Ready?
Okay.
Ready? I don't smell that bad. How are you, Jim?
Well, afternoon, everybody. We'll call to order the City of Willow Special Meeting, Public Safety Meeting for Friday, December 27th, 2019, here at the Willow's Fire Station. Item number two on our agenda, public comment. Members of the public wishing to address the committee on any item described in this agenda only may do so at this time. Is there any public comment today on any matters only on this agenda today? Any public comment? Nothing? Okay. Very good. Moving on to item number three, business items. Number 3A, Fire Chief Peabody will provide an overview and status report on current service levels available for Willow's ambulance services. This is status update and no final decision or action will be taken during this meeting. Chief, good afternoon.
Mr. Hanson, thank you very much. We also have in attendance Willow's Rural Board of Directors, John Amaro, Mr. Hudson, and of course Sheriff Warren is here, Mr. Williams, and Dougie Ross. So thank you, gentlemen, all for coming. Just a quick update. We just got our year-end report from Sacramento Sierra Valley EMS Authority, who it's basically, I'm just going to pass all those around, which is our EMS authority, and one of their jobs is to check on ambulance response times, and they track them for us. So, as again, the goal in the 10-minute response area is 90%. They want to see an ambulance in that area within 90% in the 10 minutes, which is basically a surrounding sphere of the City of Willows. And then outside of the county or outside of that sphere, it goes to a 30-minute and then wilderness. So as you can tell, for the year, in low ambulance, the second column, they made their response time one time in less than or over 90%. The rest of the time, they were anywhere from 68% to about an 80%. So that's well below the state average and the criteria for ours. The current ambulances that are still available to the county, you have Westside Ambulance with their exclusive operating area in the Orland area, and then you have Enloe Ambulance in our south boundary. And then south of us is Colusa with a reduction of one ambulance, which the numbers aren't showing much right now, but their call volumes are down as of the last month. And to the north is Sadie's Ambulance, and then to the east would be additional Enloe Ambulances. So this is their report out. You can see we're only really looking at the Willow's response times, as the ambulance task force is no longer in service. And we've disbanded that to look at a countywide issue. And so we are here today to talk about Willows specifically. So those are our numbers. Those are our times that our citizens are getting well below the state criteria. And if there's any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions? Anybody?
Okay. So as far as Willows Fire and Willows Rural Fire Protection goes, so over the last, so I have not done the 19 numbers since we're not completed with December yet, but year 16, 17, and 18. In year 16, 85% of our calls were medical related. 17, 83%. 18, 78% were medical call related specifically. So that's kind of the, we are, you know, kind of an ambulance criteria, or we provide a good portion of service is our medical side. Currently within Willows, your general response is one engine with one firefighter assigned to it, which is another safety issue that we will have to discuss as part of this. And then our average response time is 2 to 2.5 minutes to residents within the City of Willows. Within the Willows Rural Fire Protection District, because of the distance, we get into the 5 to 8 minute is our average response times, depending on location of the call. So Willows, obviously, we're providing the BLS care. Go ahead, Jim. You have a question?
No, your response time, is that from the time you get the call or is that from the time you get in the engine?
From the time we leave the engine and go.
Okay.
Yep. Till we get at the scene.
Okay. Thank you.
Our current level of service is BLS, which is basic life support, which basically no medications, no advanced care can be given. We can do airway support and basic supplies to the scene. There's been no change. We have expanded our scope as far as we can with SSV, but there is no ALS care given currently. And that is the status of Willow's Fire as of right now.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Any questions, comments? Okay.
I guess one thing I would add on there is year 16, our average on-scene times, on-scene once we were there and transported out, we were averaging 15 to 16 minutes. Year 18, we were 25 to 35. This year, just the numbers that I've added, we're 35 to 45 minutes on-scene average waiting to transport patients.
35 to 45 minutes, mm-hmm. Willow's Fire on-scene.
Yes. Which that's a huge credit. That's a huge deal on our not only the paid staff but also the volunteers. We're having a hard time getting our volunteers to respond because they know they're going to be committed on these scenes for extended time periods.
Kind of cuts into your hour, doesn't it?
It does.
Is there a break in these in summer? Say a broken femur that the guy's not going to die, or a life-threatening thing. You know, because 45 minutes when you have broken legs, one thing. 45 minutes when you have a heart attack is a different thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's just.
It judges off. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is everything. We go responding. You know.
Yeah. No.
I've taken out the public service calls. I've taken out as much of these are the actual Code 3 calls to the scene. It did not count some of the other calls that we would respond to. So.
To 45 minutes to get an ambulance there. We're supposed to have one there. With the criteria is 10 minutes? Is
10 minutes within the city, 20 minutes outside the city limits, or 30 minutes, and then after that it's a little larger. So the majority of Willow's Rural Fire Protection District is in that 20-minute sphere.
Right.
So you don't actually hit that wilderness area until you get like the Four Corners and be sitting out in that neck of the woods, and of course west up here.
What's the criteria for that? Like,
it's a mileage. There's a mileage. Okay. I'd have to get the
There's
map.
No flag. Okay.
It's a circle from their point of housing. So
the entire Willow's Rural District is within the 20?
20 minutes, okay. Yeah. Good portion.
So
of it.
Okay. Where it says November and you go across to Willow's, it has an average of 10 minutes and 44 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I reading that right?
Yes.
How does that converse into 35, 45 minutes?
Their average response time from the time that they responded, once they responded, it was 10 minutes and 44. And that might have been from the time that they either left Calusa or they responded somewhere else. So.
Oh.
So. I didn't put those together. That's SSP.
No.
I can get clarification on what that actually
I'm assuming means. Just by knowing from police response times, that's an average response, that 10 minutes, 44 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows they were late, which means they missed the 10-minute mark five times. So those all could be 25, 30 minutes. And in the time, the 18 times that they were there, could be anywhere from 5 minutes to 10 minutes.
So this is the average and there was a bunch of 45 or 50, maybe even an hour.
Right.
So you didn't have to do something that must be way longer if this is the average.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Chief, in Clusa County, when they went down to one ambulance over the 12-hour period, do they still have a second for the first 12 hours, or how's that working now? I know that was
They reduced clear down to one.
One period.
One period.
They do not have a daytime second ambulance anymore. Okay. When did that kick in?
November? I'm going to say November, okay. I believe.
Okay. And they had a 12-hour, right? They had
well, they had a 24 and a 12, and then yeah, they took the 12 away.
Interesting.
Now they're down to one ambulance. Yeah. Okay. And which, what? How does that affect us? We still have an ambulance based out of here. However, it's an EMS, is we look at it as a system, not Willow's Ambulance or Orland. It's a system. And you've just taken another one out of the system,
right,
which just weakens the
right
system as general.
Right.
So, which basically, you know, when Willow's is howling, that's great. They're in the hospital. But if Williams has a call, they take our ambulance and move it to county line. Right?
In case they need it down there again.
In case they have their second call. Right now they're in the middle of everybody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Which or automatically takes them out of our 10-minute response time, takes them out of everybody's response time.
And just so I'm clear, because I think I heard this right, if they're transporting out of Glen General by ground, they do it by this ambulance, then it could be an hour and a half, 2 hours where nobody's here, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. Now, we've requested that they don't send transfers out of here unless Westside is at least back in their area.
Okay.
Right, I mean, a code 3 transfer is code 3. When they're yeah, sick and they gotta go. But we've requested to have at least our ambulance not leave or leave a ambulance in the county until Westside gets back. Because when our ambulance leaves, yeah, it's 45 minutes there, plus it takes 40 minutes to unload a patient, and get your bus back, and then it's back over again. So yeah, every call from Glen back into our area, it takes three and a half hours at best. Unfortunately. And the same with Orland, right? Because everything from Orland goes to Chico, and they're out of service or out of their area for a couple hours every call.
So years ago, Orland started Westside where they had their own kind of association, correct?
They do. Yep. And they do. Still have it.
And we never did. We just kind of backed up on Inlow because they wanted the business out of Glen County to go there.
So at one time, Westside Ambulance was here.
Okay.
And then from Westside, then it went to Lassen. We've had different Golden Coast maybe, or somebody, they were here. Enlow's been here. There have been different providers that have come in.
Okay.
But the biggest problem that we run into is private ambulance companies are having a hard go at it because of the reimbursement rates, right? The Medicare, Medi-Cal reimbursements rates, and the private industry is having a hard time. That's what's happening in Colusa, right? We can't cover the cost anymore, and the reimbursements aren't there. So we've got to cut it. And before, the private companies were able to make it because the reimbursements rate were a little better. Now they're not as good.
The many reimbursement, what is it, Wayne, about 70% or something like that, or many cases, I think, in these rural counties.
Oh, yeah, no, we're probably,
or maybe higher.
I would, I mean, we'd have to add the ambulance guys, but I would probably say we're 80 to 85%.
But on the Medicare rates, I know a lot about that because before I retired, the division that my agency was part of, one of the branches was the audits branch, and they were always looking at 10% Medi-Cal rate cuts, 10% Medi-Cal rate cuts year by year by year, and there's just no reimbursement from the Medi-Cal side at all. It's just pennies on the dollar,
right?
And Medicare isn't much better, and there's just, it's a loss, you know. And these ambulance companies, Enlow's, are operating on a very slim margin. I forget what the numbers are now, but they're not. They're just here because they're here.
Yeah,
they're not getting rich running an ambulance.
Yes, but, and thankfully, and we're happy and proud to have all the ambulance companies that we have in the county.
Absolutely. So. But yeah, with the Medicare, Medi-Cal rates, the reimbursement's terrible. So, and that's not getting any better ever.
Yeah, I want to say that Westside, don't quote me on the numbers, but I want to say for every dollar that they request reimbursement, I think they get 7 or 8 cents. So it's not very good.
I know that with my wife's situation here just recently, I've noticed that even with just our insurance, it's they're about 30 cents on the dollars. What, you know, they'll bill, you know, a dollar, and they'll get, you know, about 33 cents of that.
Yeah, but a lot of that's the contracted hospitals make with the insurance companies, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but I mean, even at that, you know, 30 cents of every dollar bill.
Inlows doesn't look like they're going broke.
No, they don't. No, they.
There's, thank God. I mean, yeah. So that's what we know about that. That's for sure. So that is what I have the report for that item A. Mayor Hansen?
Anything further on item A? Any questions, comments? Anybody? Nothing? Just for housekeeping purposes, Madam Clerk, mm-hmm. let the record reflect that Councilmember Joel Fletcher is absent from today's meeting. I forgot to mention that earlier, Chair. Thank you.
And I have one question, if you don't mind.
Mr. Ross.
Is the Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service, a player in any of this vehicle transport logistics? And like if somebody got hurt up in the forest, the ranger would put him in the back of his pickup truck just to get him? Or I'll keep the question general instead of my vivid mind of scenarios, but is the Forest Service a player in this scenario about ambulance transport and costs and getting an injured person from point A to point B, or are they more or less just not a player?
They are not.
They're not, right. So if I could ask, if someone was hurt up, you know, in the forest, the rangers either A, could call an air transport. I mean, theoretically, we live in a perfect world where everything is always available, right? Or B, the ranger could, you know, like people have to do, sometimes you gotta get the person to point B in order to get them safely to where they can be treated.
Well, if there is a medical or an emergency on the forest, people will call 911, and if it's up on the forest, we're gonna call search and rescue. They're gonna go out and assess, and just like all the rest of the services, we'll start ambulances, we'll start fire, we'll start everybody towards that direction, but search and rescue will actually take the lead and try to get that person to the help. But as far as Forest Service, they're so ground owners.
So the Forest Service is not a financial planning player in the sense of policy sharing and that, and agreements?
No.
Right.
No.
Right. That's
okay. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments on item 3A before we move on? Nothing? Okay, very good. Moving on to item 3B, Fire Chief Peabody will provide an overview of possible paramedic program and request duties be assigned for possible paramedic assessments. Chief.
So, as we keep giving everybody the good news and the bad news, and we've talked about this in the past, one of the solutions, and we tried to do a Glynn County task force to look at this as a county-wide issue, which it is. However, there was some logistical issues and some other spots that's just not happening. So that task force has been disbanded, and now I come before the City of Willows and Willows Rural to offer a solution for our citizens to be able to have this ALS care provided to them. And so what we would offer is that we put paramedics on our fire engines, and we'd hire an assistant chief to run the EMS program here. We could look at it as why we want to put them on the fire engines. First thing is, if our community is paying for paramedics, if they show up on our fire engines, they are there. If we put them on an ambulance, it becomes part of the system and they could be used anywhere that there's a 911 call. So our citizens paying for the paramedics, we can offer that service if we put them on the fire engine. If we put them in an ambulance, there's no guarantee they're going to be in our area when they need them. So looking at the model, we believe that the fire paramedic on the fire engine can provide all the same care that a paramedic on an ambulance can. We just can't transport, which is fine. We can provide the service. We can get them there. We can order and request additional items and have the care in order that we can't do now. The side effect of that is, in order to do paramedics on the fire engines, we need to have two people on a fire engine, because doing paramedic work by yourself, you just can't do everything that you need to do. So you have to have two people available on that. So what this model basically is going to request is that we look at hiring three paramedics to go on our engines to offset what we have now. We have three engineers. We'd look at hiring three bodies for that, and then the perfect world, we would hire a EMS chief to do that. So that's kind of the model that we're looking at. We would provide all ALS care. We'll have monitors, medications, everything that a paramedic can do. We'll stabilize the patient until an ambulance gets there and we can transport from there. They'd be available, well, they'd run all the same calls that we do now in the city, in the rural, or as needed anywhere in the that we get requested mutual aid. So that is the model that we propose to use rather than putting them on an ambulance. With that, we'll stop there before we go any further. If there's any questions on that.
Are they any questions, anybody? Jeff?
Dual trained, Wayne, are they also going to be not only a paramedic, are they also going to be a fire
Absolutely.
As well?
Okay,
Absolutely. So dual role?
Yep.
Do we have any qualified people now that are paramedics?
Out of the four positions that we have now, the chief and the three engineers, three of us are paramedics.
Okay. Three of you already are.
Three out of the four. And then the fourth one is an EMT.
So you're talking three more people other than what we have now.
Yes. Plus, so we'll up the staffing to seven.
Plus the
eight.
The head.
Yes. We'd hire an assistant chief.
So there's four. It'd be four. Four.
Yes.
Four positions all together. Yes. Assistant chief and three engineers.
And three captains.
And
three
the EMS stands for Emergency
Medical Service.
Okay.
So most of the time, you'd have two paramedics going out on an emergency.
So there'd be two people responding out of the fire station every day.
Either an engineer or, an EMT and a paramedic.
There will be, yeah, there will be one paramedic on that engine for sure, and at least an EMT.
Okay.
For sure. And then the chiefs, and then so back to the deal, the community's paying for paramedics, we're doubling up on calls. We'll also have not only myself, but in the assistant chief for paramedics, and they will respond second due for any other medicals that we have at the same time.
Now, what if you go out on mutual aid to another district?
Mm-hmm. And then the chief will either respond out there, or the chief will stay back and cover town. We'll always have basically two paramedics available 24 hours a day.
For
us.
The rural district. And
city and rural, yes. And when I say us, I'm talking City of Willows and Willows Rural.
Right.
And when you're talking equipment, are you talking every truck?
Nope. No, we'll take, just like we do now, we have our primary med bag, and then we have secondary med bags.
Okay.
So we'll have two setups.
Okay.
So the chief will have a setup, the engine will have a setup, and then when we rotate engines, we'll move the equipment along with us. And then if for something happens to one of the pieces of equipment, we'll downstaff the chief and put it on the engine. So we always have our backup supplies.
So you're running your three shifts, captain, engineer,
mm-hmm.
and then you have an assistant chief who is obviously very good.
And normally you're just like one here now.
Yeah, so yeah, right now what happens is we have our one firefighter on
mm-hmm.
who is an EMT engineer, and they're responding. And over, well, since we started dispatching, which we said this was going to be a problem, our response from our volunteers have been almost nil, because they no longer have to come back down and cover dispatch, and they don't want to go to that same medical aid that we've been through six times this week already. Unfortunately, we knew this was going to happen, and we're seeing it happening. We're trying some different steps to get that, but right now we're sending one person out on the engine, and that's all you're getting there, and thankfully the deputies are showing up and they're helping out from time to time as well. So,
well, it's archaic. It's 1960s technology, you know. I mean, you know, and it's dangerous.
I mean, I'm kind of ignorant on this process, but is the volunteers, are they compensated in any aspect?
No.
Have we ever thought about maybe
yes.
giving them a stipend?
Yeah. We have.
Okay.
And they've said no.
Really? Why would that be?
They'd have to come.
As a group, they don't want to be compensated for their time for that.
So consequently, they don't want to volunteer then.
Well, but it's like every other volunteer agency or every other volunteer group in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rotary's down to four here in our town. I mean, it's volunteerism is really, really getting hard.
But when I say volunteer, I mean if there is some kind of a stipend, it's like, with the, you know.
They do have a small stipend training-wise. They have a stipend that they get yearly. We offer it to them if they make so many points throughout the year. But over the last year, I think two people have taken it. The rest of them haven't.
The issue with, you know, with volunteer firefighting is, you know, same thing has happened to volunteers in law enforcement. Rich is here. The reserve program used to be full of all kinds of personnel. They're not anymore, and it's because of the training, the immense training requirements. Training requirements are essentially the same for no pay. And, who, you know, these folks have jobs and families.
Right.
And, you know, that's, in my mind, that's the major issue. And, you know, those are the training requirements, and they're necessary. So it's tough. It's tough keeping volunteers.
Families are a lot busier than they ever used to be. They are a lot busier than they ever used to be, and it's very tough for them to commit to this. We're very thankful for the volunteers that we have, but they're very busy as well.
First time up at Orland, I saw a big banner up there. They're looking for volunteers, and they used to not have a problem up there.
Hampton City's constantly running errands.
We're always looking for volunteers, and we're happy when they come in.
And we've got a great fire department here, great volunteer fire department, but it's just tough. More ways than one.
So that's kind of the model that we're looking at. We would recommend the paramedics on the fire engines and moving forward. So obviously, the way we look at this, the upfront cost, we haven't put the complete, I have a rough budget number, but nothing substantial yet. When we do our job tasking later today, and when we come back at the next meeting, we can put together the budget and actually move forward, get some numbers accordingly. It's going to be the funding of the bodies. That's really what we're going to be looking forward to here, and we'll have to put that forward and together, and we'll figure that out. And kind of the two avenues that we have seen or talked to is a parcel tax or an assessment, or sales tax measure. Those are kind of the two that we would go for, or request, or one or the other. Both of them would be a two-thirds vote, because we're going to identify specifically what this is for. And I believe in our county, looking at other bond measures and such that have failed in the past because they were a little bit too wide, I believe that we can put together a measure that can be very specific and very to the point of what we're asking for and where the money's going to go, and we'll set the whole program up accordingly. I am not sure if this group, anybody's had any experience putting together either a tax measure or parcel. Has anybody done that before? I was hoping somebody had something, but no.
Well, Gary and I just did it with water.
Yeah,
but that was a different voting system.
But Wayne, did I hear you correctly that if we was to have an ambulance, if somebody requests it, we have to roll on it? But yes, if it's the way it is, your proposal, they don't. But we're still down to the fact of transportation. If there's not an ambulance around.
But however, I'm giving ALS care. So as I broke it down to Tara yesterday, her daughter has an asthma attack. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on an ambulance from Red Bluff for 45 minutes. As an EMT, the only thing I can do is sit there and give her daughter oxygen. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm there within 2 minutes, right? I can only give her daughter oxygen. But as a paramedic, I can give the medication that the paramedic's going to give 35 to 40 minutes ahead of when that ambulance gets there, and we can relax her, get her treated until that ambulance gets there, and then we can transport.
But didn't you say we already have three paramedics?
They are
on
not
staff?
Working as paramedics. We are not licensed to be paramedics.
Oh, okay.
They have the qualifications, but
we're licensed with the state, but the station is a BLS department.
What's BE?
Basic life support.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what would that entail to bring that up to that status?
Three bodies.
The guys that are already qualified We can't move that up?
I cannot go out with one person.
You gotta have two people.
And try to do advanced life care by myself. Do I do CPR or do I do an IV to give you the medication?
Right. But like you was using her daughter as a scenario, if there's just one, if she needs the injection of whatever the medication is for the asthma, they would be able to do that as one single body, right?
No.
You have to legally have two?
Yes.
What kind of nonsense is that?
State of California.
Oh my gosh.
Where have you been?
So, sorry,
I just unfortunately, that's kind of how you break that. I mean, it just, the transportation, I would rather, it would be great to be able to transport and everything, but unfortunately in our situation, when that ambulance is needed to the closest 911 resource, ambulance resource gets called to wherever it's needed, regardless of lines. Our ambulance left here one night and was the closest ambulance in Reading. They code 3 all the way to Reading because they were the closest, most available ambulance.
And also the fact, if you, and we've considered all options, and going back to when Wayne said that the ambulance task force was disbanded, we got absolutely nowhere. We're all in the same boat. We're all having the same issues here in Clinton County. So we just, the meetings became just, you know, we beat that horse to death. You can, you know, use ambulances or a dime a dozen, but to staff an ambulance here, that would be a minimum of 7 people. It'd take a minimum of 6.
It takes, yeah. So
you'd have to have two people per shift. You'd have to have a minimum of 6, which you'd have to have, probably a 7th body, right? Versus this plan with you're talking 4 bodies,
right?
And then you're throwing an ambulance in the system, somewhere in the system.
Well, and if you throw the ambulance in, you're now depending on volunteers for any other calls that you have within the city or the rural district to respond, because that ambulance leaves, there goes your guys. There goes your crew.
Well, right, there goes your, that's, yeah. There goes your department.
So, yeah.
But with the 2 personnel per shift, your captain and engineer, you have your command and control on the scene every time.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, right now, you know, you have your volunteer captains, however, they're not always here. Mm-hmm. So your engineer, in essence, is your captain, in essence, without the rank, if they're basically in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just the command structure of the 2 people, captain and engineer with at least 1 paramedic, that makes a lot of sense. And it's less personnel to do it. And those individuals will be within the district, the city and the district, tending to the need. You know, the patient needs, so.
Don't most of the bigger cities, say Chico and Reading, aren't most of those guys always have, they do this already, what you're talking about? Most of the bigger cities?
Not, they don't have paramedics, most, but they all have 2 to 3 staffing. We're expanding into the paramedics because we have a huge need. They do not have the paramedic need because they have.
The last 2 or 3 that I know that got jobs in bigger cities, they were paramedics.
And most are.
Most are.
Everywhere south, like Woodland's the last one south of us, mm-hmm. that basically everybody down there, that's all they have is fire paramedics. And then when you look at SSV response times, you'll see that the response times and then the ALS care is way up. They're all 90 to 100% on their response times all the time for that reason. Moving north, this is, every rural community is going to run into this situation, and I believe this is just a good model for us in our situation. So
we still are depending on...
How many parcels are in this whole thing? Come on,
I have
top of your head.
30, so city and rural, 3250. 3,500, hang on. Sorry, I wrote it down, but it's on my other sheet. I want to say, let me pull Tara's up.
Oh, never mind. That's
I want to say 3,250. Close
enough.
City and rural.
Well, Well, the parcel acre ground, John, we get charged you for your acres? I was kind of thinking we could raise a lot of money if we charge like $50 an acre.
Oh, God. My property.
And we could vote it in the city because there ain't enough of you guys out there.
Every time you look at your property tax bill, you go down the line, let's see, mosquito.
We can pretend we're LA and you're Willows.
$10 for this, $50 for that.
Well, if you look at, I looked at my taxes, and the worst thing I see that I don't understand is the fire, I pay nothing. I pay a heck of a lot more in Butte College, and I don't even understand what that's all about, except for some guy said we need all this money.
Wayne, I know you were saying that you haven't got numbers compiled, but do you have kind of a ballpark figure with what you think salaries would be for the three core bodies?
Well,
close to $500,000.
Yeah, I mean, well, without the PERS and all that stuff added in, that's the problem when you start adding PERS and everything else. Yeah. I mean, a body will cost you $130,000 to $140,000 a piece. But until we actually, you know, kind of sit down with that, I'm not really exact sure on that, but I don't think that 140 is that far off a complete outfitted person.
Yeah, because once you start hiring football and paramedics, you're in competition because they can go elsewhere and get a whole lot of money.
Right, no, that's for sure.
I have that number for you. In the city of Willows, there is 2,290. And in the Willows Rural Fire Protection, there is 1,217.
Very close.
32.
So we're still depending on one ambulance for all of South County.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's out of Enloe.
Yes.
And of course, but of course, if that's gone, we're depending on one from south, one from this side of Colusa County.
Yes. And when they're gone, we're dependent on Orland. And when they're gone, the next closest one is Corning. And when they're gone, we get one out of Red Bull.
Who does Corning
okay,
like?
Chinese. Okay. I'm going to ask this what if question. I hate to ask, but what if Enloe decides to, when they've done this to this county before, they decide, well, it's too expensive, we don't want to service this place anymore. Mm-hmm. Then we're in a whole nother realm.
Yes. So in my career at Willows Fire, I've seen that happen. Lassen was there on Sunday night, and they left Monday morning. Golden, I forget what the name of that, Golden Coast Ambulance, same deal.
Yeah.
Enloe Ambulance, there is nothing here that says that they have to be here.
There's no contract.
There is no contract for any ambulance company in the South County. Westside Ambulance has an exclusive operating area for their zone. But that's their problem.
You know, kind of would help on this is Westside up there, they're already being taxed for that under parcel tax, or how do they get that paid for? Or is that a private company?
They are a private company, and they have an association, but my understanding is they're not active in expanding that association, so.
Is Westside just one ambulance? No, I mean, or is it a bigger company? They have more elsewhere?
No, they're just them. Just
who owns that?
Lori Finch is the office manager.
Oh, okay.
And then they have a board of their own.
Okay, I have no idea. I'm just.
Yeah.
They don't want to expand it to you, do they?
They do not.
Well, wasn't years ago, Wayne, because Westside did service Willows, mm-hmm. and then wasn't there some kind of an argument over payment or something like that? And then they said, well, sorry.
There was an agreement with the Board of Supervisors, and something happened in.
Right. Was it the accident?
Early to mid-70s?
Didn't have something to do with the accident.
They had an accident with one of their ambulances.
It was in the 80s.
Yeah. In the 80s, mid-80s. Yeah, there was an ambulance with one of their, there was an accident with one of the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, I think that was with Luke's mom. Didn't she get hurt mm-hmm. pretty bad in that?
Or Cooper and Linda.
Yeah.
Linda Weinrich, yes.
Seriously. And I think that was what...
Sierra 32.
Bad blood there.
It wasn't long after that that kind of kick-started some things, kind of a domino effect. Yeah.
Man.
You know, it worked well. It worked very well. But then, like Wayne said, then those other two companies came in, and one day they weren't here.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny just looking at this and kind of just throwing stuff against the wall. You're looking at least $200 per parcel if you do a parcel tax. I mean, in that neighborhood. And I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't see that far.
230.
230 probably more realistic.
Don't write that down yet. It's not confirmed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't take Einstein. If you got 3,200 and 150 and you need four, you know, it gets it up there.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd ever pass it here. It's my problem. So I was wondering more about the sales tax. I like sales tax. It's the fairest one. If I spend money, I pay a tax.
Yeah.
I mean, Walmart might bring in enough for it. I mean, nothing. There's nothing else in here. But
well, I mean, you got tractor companies. We have some other stuff going, right? But
they only pay 2% though.
True.
And I don't know how much the city.
Well, the city still gets that's 1% to the city still of the 2%.
Does anybody know for a fact?
City gets 1% of the 2%. Why don't we build a truck terminal in here and just take that 1%?
The city's still on the ag sales tax. The city, as far as I know, Wayne, I believe it's still 1%.
Yes, 1%.
Yeah.
Mm. Wayne, Gary, do you guys know, because I was told, and I forgot even who mentioned it, that a lot of the harvester sales and stuff like that, they'll move the sale over to a different county for that benefit to their county. Is that not?
No. It's okay. The way the tractor companies work. So there certain Peterson could only sell certain pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're Peterson doesn't mean that you could sell a harvester out of here. That harvester gets sold out of used to get sold out of Yuba City.
But I mean, we get the benefit of that harvester sale tax.
Mm-hmm. No, because it's sold out
sold
of there.
Out there.
However, now the
Holt's here. You
now
might
that Holt's
get
here, yeah, right.
That's changed now. I think with
Holt.
Holt's
here.
Yeah.
But that's territory with the within Peterson and all that. So.
Well, for example, we hired a firm a couple of times to do basically desk audits, because after in 2009 was a good ag sales year,
mm-hmm.
as far as price, commodities, but especially with rice. So our sales tax, in my mind, didn't show that. So matter of fact, I brought it up. What about equipment sales? Talking about the yellow and the green stuff,
mm-hmm.
the red stuff's in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about John Deere and you know, mm-hmm. Caterpillar. Why aren't we seeing a bump? Well, that's because one of the firms' point of sale was at their headquarters in Yuba City.
Right, that's
what
I was getting
at. Right. Well, that was corrected. But
okay.
And we a couple of times we hired that firm to make those corrections. You know, because it was a corporate thing.
Now I do know that, like for example, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the sales tax itself, but like if you go to Chico and buy a vehicle, or let's say Sacramento that has maybe a higher sales tax, it's based on where you live is what the sales tax rate. Does that revenue come to this? If they say I bought
charges.
A brand new vehicle in Sacramento,
yes,
the sales tax money does come here.
It comes through the DMV side. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay.
Really?
Interesting. Well, Jim, I was thinking the same thing you were thinking of, sales tax versus parcel tax. I know this is early on in the conversation.
I remember I sat through the last meeting on the sewer. And I was thinking, you know, they're really not asking for that much money, but man, now you come back and say $230 for a parcel.
Well, school board, how many times did that take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a $230 parcel.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I can't remember what it was. It wasn't very much.
Well, but I mean that's why we're having this meeting today, is to kind of give us some directions. We'll go explore them.
Sure.
Yeah,
and then we'll come back with.
I have no idea what your sales tax is. I mean, you know, when sold here it is. I mean, no.
Well, we're 7.25% right now.
No, I meant as far as volume, how much? If 1% would be enough to do that or something, you know.
Maybe.
Because Orland, they bumped theirs to 0.5% for their fire and then, or for safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because was it 500,000, then it went into like a pool for.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Their meeting, but.
So I guess what we would be looking at is, so those are kind of the two that I would think of, either a parcel tax or we would look at a sales tax measure. And regardless, because it's specific towards this, it would be a two-thirds vote.
It makes it two-thirds because of the specific nature of the proposed or requested increase.
But, you know, let's be, you know, none of us like tax increases. None of us do. None of us do. But, you know, this is a major public safety issue. You know, this is life and death we're talking here.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you at all.
We weren't able to tackle the problem through the ambulance task force. So now, Chief Peabody's, this proposal forward.
In my mind, there's more to this than just the ambulance. I mean, you get two guys on a fire truck, it's been a response for everything, not just the emergency safety
public
of the
safety
whole community.
Yeah. In general, yeah. Right. Not just medical. Right.
Well,
fire aspect.
That's the whole thing that, you know, that's the whole thing that how we're going to have to sell this thing is, it's going to be a big educational.
See, the trouble with parcel tax, you got somebody in town, and I know somebody did this, when you tried to, she called everybody she had a rental to and said, you better be against this or your rent's going up. Well, if you're a renter and it does sound like $50, may not irritate you, but it does. You know, if you say, $200, it's a night out. But there's somebody else that $200 is a month worth of food. You know, it just varies. But you say sales tax, if you're not spending the money, you're not paying the tax. So that's the way I look at it. So when the harvesters cost 3% on sales tax, it don't bother me at all, John. You can afford that $1,500 extra dollars.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Well, I don't know nobody else anyway going to buy that kind of stuff. I mean, it's something we need to do. Now we just got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's kind of what we're looking for here is kind of a direction that we'll spend, you know, we'll. So I guess what my first question would be the model, and I think kind of sounds like the consensus is the paramedics on the fire engine would be the model rather than an ambulance.
Right.
That would be okay.
We're in consensus.
But you're about half the money than if you did ambulance.
Yeah,
we're in consensus that, I believe. Yeah.
And then I think from there, we can put together a working budget for the next meeting, but which would give us some numbers that we could look at. But am I kind of feeling that we may want to look at a tax measure?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would look at, real quickly, this is what you have to have for parcels. And like right. I said, I have no idea what the county sales are, so I don't know, would 1% be enough? Would 0.5% be enough? I don't know.
Just kind of a look at each option. Yeah. See,
I don't think it would be too hard, would it?
Does that make sense, Wayne?
Yeah, basic information.
Not a deep dive.
Parcels, just break it down.
And I'm not familiar enough with you just mentioned that Orland measured the way they did it because wasn't that a majority? And I'm not sure.
Included Public Works.
That was Public Works also. Okay.
Well, we probably had a sales tax or a collect. We could just fund this. I mean, there's so much more up there in sales than there is here, I believe.
No, you have a bigger population base too.
Yeah, right, in North Carolina.
I mean, what'd you give out at the meeting? Dinners at Farwood, not to anybody at Willows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're waiting for Hudson Insurance to open that restaurant up and we'll be good to go.
I'm going to take the old Denny's and rebuild it.
Good. You better. I know the arson guy. If you go throw the match in, it won't be that.
I've seen a whole bunch of you guys over there earlier today. I don't know what that was all about. But
so we will put together that information. But
somebody got cold.
I think it would be a good idea to maybe start assigning a few, because now since Mr. Ross is here, this is going to hit the newspaper, and I know that all of our heads are going to start getting questions asked.
As who's here?
I'd like to put together
our
maybe
reporter.
Some highlighted
I didn't know.
Points.
Sure.
But since we don't really have a direction that we're headed yet, I don't want to keep them pretty general, I guess, at this point. But I want to make sure that we're all starting to talk the same message and we're talking the same.
Sure.
So we can try to get that out. Is there anybody would like to help volunteer towards the PIO or the information stuff? I'd like to have one from the city, one from the rural.
Yeah.
Gary, John, can you help me with the budget?
Whatever you need.
I think it'd be great if you could help me with the budget. Can I borrow Amy for our talking points with these guys? Okay, perfect, thank you.
Yeah, this is a very OES related subject. So.
Yes. From the law enforcement side, have you been getting any complaints on from your officer, your deputies, as far as response times? I mean, they're feeling as much as we are.
Yeah, as far as ambulances, yeah. Again, it usually ties our people up because even when you guys get there, we're there, and until the ambulance comes and gets somebody ready to transport, we're not really breaking free from the scene unless there's another emergency coming up. So, you know, fire response has always been good, but yeah, when you've got your first responders out there waiting and waiting and waiting, it causes issues.
So we'll do that, model the budget. We'll deep dive in. Once we kind of put that budget together, that'll give us some numbers that we'll look at the sales tax and a parcel side. The only other deal that I have for everybody is, went down to the county and picked up a how to place a measure on the ballot plus timeline. So there's stuff that has to be done by July. So I mean, we're starting to talk, this stuff's gonna start turning around pretty quick.
Yeah.
And that action that has to take in July is actually a resolution of the Board of Supervisors. So there's some, so we have some stuff.
Puts this together for you to put on the ballot.
We will.
And isn't there a cost involved or something like that?
Well, I don't think. Yes, there is. So you'll also be working with the Public Safety Association. So this is from our board or from our elections department. So as we kind of start getting this stuff put together, and we'll lean on Orland for what they did on their measure. We'll ask the school district for what they did, so we can kind of get their what worked, what didn't work from them as well. Dan, I've said this from the very get-go on all of this stuff, even when we did the ambulance task force, is that if the community turns it down, they turn it down, but we have to at least offer them a solution.
Yeah.
And this is a solution that's to a problem that's out there. And the only thing we can do is just tell them how it's gonna be, and I think we'll be very upfront with the budget. We'll be exactly what we're gonna do with the money and how it's gonna go. And
so I think all the older people better be jumping all over this, and the younger ones, I'd say, well, I got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, well, it's regardless of how you look at it, it's going to be an expensive program, unfortunately, but I don't know any other solution out there at this point.
When were you thinking of having next meeting?
Probably February.
Okay.
So we'll start working on the budget. We'll finish the model. We'll do that model that we talked about. We'll put together the budget. We'll start with some talking points probably immediately, and I'll probably have Nate Monk with you guys from the fire guys side to help work with you guys, so the three of you can tackle that, and then Jim and I will start working on the budget, and then we'll start looking, once we get those numbers and stuff put together, then we'll move forward.
Okay.
But I would think probably sometime first part of February, we'll look at putting together another meeting.
Okay.
And then once we kind of start rolling forward with this thing, we'll get after it.
I'll
we'll
be
done
like this 15th of February.
Because I'm assuming that we're definitely going to have
I'll find a date.
We're definitely going to have some community outreach on this.
Oh, absolutely.
So some
That's
community hall meetings, make sure we explain what's going on and answer the questions.
Community education. Right.
That's the most important part of the whole thing.
And Dougie Ross, I'm sure, is going to be good to us.
It'll be a $10 assessment for everybody here. I'm going to write an article or not.
Well, you better than Tim. You would have won $20.
Did you say assessment? Here, I would give you a soda.
That'll work.
Did you have lunch today? You're done for this meeting.
So I think that's all that I have, Mr.
Okay, Chief, thank you. Any questions, comments? Anybody?
Like I say, I think the public education is going to be the biggest challenge and biggest thing here.
I would think you get it put together and then go out and beat the bushes to the Rotary, the Kiwanis, anybody you go talk to in a meeting, but besides having meetings.
Yeah.
Public forums.
Yeah. But you need a couple of public public meetings, just that way you can get into the real details, the big details of the whole thing.
Right, exactly. And of course, you know, living in our world, we're aware of it, but you know, a lot of folks out there have no idea Willis Fire runs 1,000 calls a year.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on out there.
Well, that's the whole thing.
When is there any possibility, and I don't even know, for us to lure Enloe into having more ambulance service by giving them X amount of dollars per year of a kind of a contract saying, hey, you know, we know that you can't do this for free, so we're going to, you know, offset some of your costs. Is there any possibility of doing something like that?
$650,000 is what they requested.
It's been explored by the Ambulance Task Force already. That was early on. That was one of the first.
Yeah, and you still
explorations
wouldn't have the response time because something would happen and they would be,
well,
they'd be sitting at the end of the pavement waiting for a search and rescue and reading the guy out in the mountains like I just, there was,
yeah, they were committed
the ambulance was sitting up there for about 2.5 hours.
The baseline, and I throw some numbers out of that, it was just approximate, but I believe it was their running and what was estimating about $550,000 to $575,000 a year just to run an ambulance to break even, Wayne, right? Some there, right, just under $600,000 just to provide an ambulance. That's if the without replacing tires, basically.
Yeah, and so
slim profit margin.
What we originally requested through the task force was to put a 12-hour ambulance over here, and how we could try to get there, and we could never get there. So
no.
But yeah, basically it was about $650,000 a year for that 12-hour bus.
That was for a 12-hour, right.
See, and somebody told me that they make most of their money by taking transport from here to there and back. Well,
from Chico to San Francisco is $17,500.
Wow.
And they're my insurance is arguing over whether it's life, you know, necessary.
You know what?
I'm like, are you kidding me?
It might have been $700,000 or $750,000.
I just had an ambulance.
$700,000 or $750,000. But it was a lot of money.
My wife too.
It was about maybe 750,000. It was a lot of money. Just
yeah, because from my perspective, from the city manager role, if I don't have to hire any more employees, I'm all on board, right? But unfortunately, we've gone down and beat every bush that we can, so we don't have a choice but to hire bodies now.
Yeah.
Or asked to hire.
Well, it's a major public safety issue, life and death situation.
Built this monster.
Sure, we've got to do something.
We've only had taxes in California for 80 years. Look what we've done to it in 80 years.
Hey, haven't you retired?
You don't go to my office before you get out.
I've got a 3 o'clock appointment.
I can't wait to address.
No overtime.
Now, wait a second here. He's been well trained. He's got a clipboard in hand. He didn't make eye contact. He was making a beeline. He's busy.
Well
that's
trained.
In government, you can do nothing and walk around the clipboard and nobody's going to bother you.
Don't give away my secret.
Yeah, that was my secret.
Anything further? Item in reference, item 3B. Anybody? Anything else, Chief? Anything further?
I believe I'm talked out.
Clear direction.
We're good.
We're good. Okay. Anything further? Questions, comments? Okay. Just as a reminder, this committee is a standing committee comprised of less than a quorum of city council members, functioning as an ad hoc advisory status to the city council, and its authority is limited to review and recommendation on any issues in conjunction with public safety within the city of Willows. So thank you for attending, everyone. The time is 14:59, 2:59 p.m., and meeting adjourned. Have a good
New Year's weekend.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy New Year.